hard to help her see. "What was that?" I asked, still chuckling. "I don't know," she said. She held her breath, and a laugh escaped again. Then we started all over. After 5 minutes of uncontrollable laughter, Oklahoma City traffic converged, and Madison wiped her cheeks, concentrating on the road. "I haven't done that in a long time, since I was little. It felt good, but weird," I said. "Like you laughed so hard you felt like crying?" I nodded. "Oh my God, I thought that was just me. I feel exhausted after. Depressed, almost." "Yep, I'm there," I said. Madison's bottom lip quivered. "Will you still be my friend if I cry?" I nodded, and tears streamed down her face. She choked out a cry, and I felt my eyes start to water. I hadn't really cried in years, and here I was with Madison, practically a stranger, allowing myself some vulnerability. She glanced at me. "It's nice to be weird with someone else." I breathed out a laugh. "It kind of is. You live with a lot of people. You must not ever feel lonely." "I do, actually." Madison stared forward, her lip trembling again. "Me too. I don't tell anyone. Please don't tell Sam. It would make him sad." "Why?" "Because up until now, he's been my only friend. He worries that's why I keep him around."
"Is it?"
"No." She shook her head and turned to me, smiling with wet eyes. "I love him. Since we were 11. She paused. "You know what? I think Elliot loves you also." I nodded, looking down at my hands clasped in my lap. "He says so." "He does?" she asked, her voice an octave higher. "Did you say it back?"
"Yeah,"
I said with a smile, waiting for judgment. There was none. "Then I can finally tell you. He talks about you constantly." She rolled her eyes. "In geography and lit. Before you finally forgave him, it was worse."
"Oh, he told you about that?"
She shook her head.
"Only that he was trying to say sorry and you wouldn't forgive him. I asked, but he wouldn't tell me. You can, though, if you want."
She was only half teasing, but it was nice to talk to someone else. This was something I could talk about without consequences. "I met him the summer after my freshman year." She grinned. "He told me that part. We spent pretty much every day together after that. I knew he would go back at some point, but then my dad died. Elliot had to leave. He wasn't allowed to say goodbye, but I didn't know that at the time."
"Oh, God! You just thought he saw that your dad died and bailed?"
I nodded.
"He felt wretched. He came here for you. I know that. Did..."
I trailed off, not sure how open I should be. Madison waited patiently, and it made me feel comfortable continuing.
"Did he ever say why?"
Madison blurted out a laugh and covered her mouth.
"For you, silly!"
"No, I know. But why me?"
"You don't know?"
I shook my head. "Oh, I'm not going to be the one. You're going to have to ask him."
"I have. He won't tell me."
Madison's expression turned to sympathy.
"Aw, I can't believe he hasn't told you. It's so sweet."
I tried not to smile while I imagined sweet reasons Elliot was so devoted to me.
"Well, now that we've been through every emotion possible, here we are,"
Madison said, pulling in the drive to the school. She drove slowly through the parking lot, trying to find a spot. It took longer than Madison expected, but we found an open parking space in a dark corner of the lot. I stepped out, feeling the coldness permeate every part of me. I began to shiver after just a few seconds.
"This is a perfect place for Presley's surprise.
I'm thinking pig's blood. Hopefully it's warm. Madison zipped her coat and narrowed her eyes.
I dare her.
I don't, I said. Madison giggled.
Don't worry. What could she possibly do?
I don't know. And I think that makes me more worried than anything. Madison put on a hat and black mittens, and then opened the back gate of her forerunner, pulling out two thick blankets. She handed a fleece-backed quilt to me, and then hooked her free arm around mine.
Come on, we're going to watch our boys kick some Yukon Millers ass.
Hey, Maddie, Presley said, walking with the clones. Madison shot her an equally fake smile.
Hey, girl, hey.
Presley was no longer amused, her smug grin melting away. They continued across the parking lot to the ticket booth, and we made sure to stay far enough behind so we didn't have to engage again. The stadium was already churning with noise, deafening before we reached the ticket booth. Huge banners with Yukon Millers hung from almost every side, and the field lights were cutting through the night sky. Madison's boots skirted across the asphalt with each step, making me think about Althea's insistence that I pick up my feet when I walk. I could almost hear her voice in my head, and that made me stop in my tracks. I didn't want to carry them with me, even Althea. I wanted to be able to leave them all behind when I could finally step away.
Catherine?
Madison said, tugging on my arm. I blinked and chuckled to cover that I'd checked out for a few minutes.
Are you okay?
She asked, genuine concern in her voice.
Yeah,
I said, taking a step. She took one with me, her arm still hooked around mine.
Yes, I'm fine.
We stopped at the ticket booth, showed our student IDs, and the grandmother behind the window stamped our hands with a smile.
Thank you, I said.
Enjoy losing, the grandma said, a Cheshire Cat's grin stretching across her wrinkled face. Madison's mouth fell open, and I pulled her away, guiding her through the gate.
Did she say?
Yes, she did, I said, stopping at the bottom of the steps that led to the guest side of the stadium. Half of it was filled with overflow from the home side, but there were a lot of empty bleachers and sporadic groups of parents. We climbed the steps and sat in the sixth row from the walkway, as close to the center of the players' benches as we could get. The cheerleaders were bundled and standing on the track in front of the band, dressed in full regalia. The players of the trumpets, tubas, and drums were already warming up in random separate song. Madison rubbed her gloved hands together and then noticed my bare hands. She grabbed my fingers, looking up at me with wide eyes.
Did you forget yours in the forerunner?
I shook my head.
I don't have any. It's okay.
No, it's not okay. It's 20 degrees. She lifted my blanket and shoved my hands under, holding hers on top of mine until she felt they'd had enough time to warm. The band's conductor stood in front, holding up a signal. A few of the horn players blew quick practice notes, and then they all bleated the same scale. The announcer came on over the PA system, welcoming the spectators and thanking them for braving the cold. Madison and I sat closer as the air seeped inside our blankets and coats, watching as the Oak Creek Mudcats ran onto the field to the sound of our school song.
Look! There they are,
she said, pointing to our boyfriends. They were standing on the sideline next to each other, listening to Coach Peckham. Once the coach walked off, Elliot turned around, looking up in the stands. I held up my hand, raising my fingers and thumb. Elliot did the same, and like last time, I felt the eyes of those in the line of sight between us staring. Elliot turned back around, bouncing up and down, his breath puffing above his black helmet in a cloud of white.
That might be the cutest thing I've ever seen, Madison said. No wonder you don't wear mittens. You couldn't do that with these on,
she said, holding up one hand. I bowed my head, feeling embarrassment heat my cheeks, but couldn't stop looking at number 7 as he moved to keep warm. Maybe for the first time, I realized what I meant to him and what he meant to me. The warmth spread to my chest and then the rest of me. I wasn't alone anymore.
"Aww," Presley said from a few rows up. "How sweet."
Madison turned around, batting her lashes and smiling.
"Eat shit, Presley."
"Madison Saylor,"
a blonde woman sitting next to Presley yelled.
"Mrs. Brubaker,"
Madison said, surprised. A nervous laugh tittered from her mouth.
"Good to see you. Maybe your daughter won't be such a troll while you're here."
Presley's mouth fell open, and the clones did the same. Mrs. Brubaker's expression turned severe.
"That's enough," she said, unamused.
Madison turned, speaking under her breath. "Is she texting?" I peeked up from the corner of my eye.
"Yes."
She hunched over and groaned.
"She's texting my dad. They go to our church."
"No one is shocked more than me. I've always thought you were shy," I said.
"I'm not. I've just never had a friend to defend. Isn't that what friends do?"
I nudged her with my shoulder.
"You're a really good friend."
She looked at me, beaming.
"I am?"
I nodded. She held up her phone, the display alerting her to a text from her dad.
"Worth it,"
she said, putting her phone down without reading the message. Elliot, Sam, Scotty, and Connor walked to the center of the field to meet the UConn team captains. A coin was tossed, Elliot calling a side. Whatever he said, the referee pointed to Elliot, and the few Oak Creek fans in the stands cheered. Elliot chose to receive the ball, and we cheered again. Canned music played through the PA system as the players lined up on the field and as the UConn team got ready to kick to our receiver. We made a failed attempt to be louder than the home side. Sam caught the ball, and Madison screamed, clapping for him the whole 60 yards he carried it. When Elliot jogged out onto the field, I felt a strange twinge in my stomach. He was getting ready to face off against his old teammates, and I wondered what that must feel like. The pressure to win had to have been insurmountable. Elliot yelled words I could barely hear over the noise, and Scotty hiked him the ball. Elliot took a few steps back and, after a few seconds, fired a perfect spiral to one of the receivers. I wasn't sure what was going on and had a hard time following, but then the crowd gasped. The referees threw yellow flags, and I saw UConn defense linemen stand up and point down at Elliot. My number 7 was on the ground, his arms and legs splayed out.
"Oh my God, what happened?" I asked.
"They were worried about this," Madison said.
"About what?"
"That Elliot's old team would try to take him out. They know how good he is. They're also pissed he left his senior year." I winced at her words, feeling guilty. I knew exactly why he'd left his teammates. Elliot slowly crawled to his feet, and the crowd applauded. I put my frozen hands together, even though it shot pain up my arms every time I clapped. I slid them under the blanket, watching Elliot slightly limp back to the line. The next time Elliot threw the football, it was caught in the end zone. Then the Millers made a touchdown, and the teams seemed to go back and forth that way until we caught a slight lead at halftime. Madison talked me into standing in line with her for hot chocolate. I walked in place, trying to stay warm while we waited for our turn.
"Anna Sue,"
Presley said loudly behind us.
"He said he'd text you on his way home, right?"
"We'll see," Anna Sue answered. "He's been kind of a baby lately about her finding out."
"Don't turn around," Madison said. "They're just trying to get your attention."
"It was going to happen. A guy can't love ice cream that much and not see you all the time," Presley said, this time louder.
"Buttered pecan, right?"
Madison's eye twitched, and she turned around slowly. Presley noticed, and a small smile touched her lips.
Well, let me know if you're missing the party again to meet him. I'm not waiting an hour like I did last weekend.
Madison turned, her eyes watering. She blew out a long breath.
They're lying. Lying? I asked. About what?
Sam goes to Brahms every day. Buttered pecan is his favorite. I made a face.
That doesn't mean anything. If that's what he orders every time, of course she's going to know.
Sam was an hour late to the party last weekend. He said his homework took longer than he thought.
Nope. No way. I see the way he looks at you.
Madison nodded.
You're right. I still want to rip out that cheerleader reject's blonde ringlets one by one.
Please don't.
I'm not even going to ask him. Sam would never in a million years. He hates Anna Sue.
We stepped up to the concession stand and ordered two large hot chocolates. I paid with the few dollars I had to help offset the cost of gas, and then we made our way back to our seats, ignoring the giggles of the clones. The Oak Creek Marching Band performed Back in Black. We cheered as they left, replaced by the enormous Yukon Band. They performed a Beyoncé mashup and made a moving T-Rex. The crowd erupted. Even Oak Creek spectators stood up and cheered. Not long after the home team's band left the field, the Mudcats ran out of their tunnel. I yelled for Elliot when I spotted the number 7 jersey, settling in for another hour of freezing temps and human pileups. Elliot was sacked twice, and the second time it took him a full minute to stand. When he got to his feet, he seemed even more determined to win. He went on to run for another touchdown. With 1 minute left in the game, we were 12 points ahead, and UConn had the ball. They lined up at UConn's 20-yard line.
What does 1st and 10 mean? I asked Madison.
The cheerleaders had been chanting it throughout the game.
Basically, every time a team gets the ball, they have 4 tries to gain 10 yards at a time. If they don't get 10 yards in 4 tries, the other team gets the ball. Make sense?
I nodded. The clock counted down as UConn tried again and failed. On their 4th attempt, they fumbled, and Oak Creek's number 22, whoever that was, carried the ball all the way to our end zone. Madison and I were on our feet, bouncing up and down with our empty styrofoam cups. Oak Creek and UConn high-fived, and then Elliot and his teammates headed for the locker room. Sam and Elliot waved to us as they passed, but Elliot was limping. I tried to be brave and smile, but Elliot saw the worry on my face. His gloved hand touched my cheek for a brief second as he passed.
I'm okay, babe.
Madison lowered her chin and smiled at me, and then we walked over to wait by the gate near the bus.
What do you think it is? I asked.
Madison wrinkled her nose.
Huh?
Presley's surprise. You think because her mom is here she'll back off?
Probably not. How do you think she got that way? You think her mother cares that Presley is awful?
Good point, I said. I wonder what Madison would think if she ever met Mama, then quickly dismissed it. That was never going to happen. When the football team began filing out, Elliot was one of the first.
Happy birthday, I said.
He lifted me in his arms, stealing a quick kiss before his coaches came out. He had a scrape across his swollen nose and another black eye. His chin and cheekbone were scraped, too. He looked beat up, but he was smiling.
Are you okay?
I asked. Sam slapped Elliot on the shoulder, and Elliot winced.
We knew they were going to target him. We had his back, though, Sam said.
For the most part, Elliot said, sliding from Sam's grasp.
Elliot, I began.
He smiled.
I'm fine. Just another night on the field. It was fun.
Doesn't look like fun. Is your nose broken? Madison asked.
Coach says no, Elliot said. We won, and He glanced around, leaning in.
Coach says there's a couple of scouts coming to the playoff game. So if I do well, I could be playing college ball.
I thought you said that wasn't an option. I winked.
He leaned down to kiss my cheek. Madison turned to Elliot.
Don't Native Americans get to go to college for free?
Elliot chuckled. No.
Oh my God, was that offensive? I'm so sorry.
Madison said.
Common misconception.
He looked at me with a smile.
With a scholarship, though. Looks like we might be picking a college soon.
I peeked around, not wanting to discuss this in front of Madison and Sam.
I can't go to college, Elliot. I can't afford it, I said quietly.
Elliot seemed unfazed.
We'll make it work.
Great game, Elliot, Presley said, smug. Hey, Princess Kit Kat.
Tatum waved from behind her. Elliot nodded, keeping his voice low when he spoke.
Have they bothered you?
I shook my head.
They tried stirring up trouble with Sam and Maddie.
Huh? Sam said, confused. Me? What'd I do?
Nothing, Madison said, kissing his cheek.
What did they say?
He asked.
It doesn't matter, Madison said. I don't believe it.
Now you have to tell me,
Sam said, a frown on his face.
She shifted her weight, fidgeting. That you're cheating on me with Anna Sue?
Sam and Elliot bent over, their entire body shaking with laughter.
So that's a no, I said, amused.
When they finally settled down, Sam looked disgusted.
They'd better not be spreading that around school. Gross.
Madison hugged him and kissed his cheek.
I didn't believe it for a second.
Elliot stood up, taking a deep breath.
Well, don't think that's all they have up their sleeves.
We'll stick together, Madison said, hooking her arm in mine. They won't touch her.
Maddie has two older brothers. She can be scrappy if she needs to, Sam said, hugging her to his side.
Madison took off her knit cap and quickly twisted her long platinum hair back into a tight bun.
Let's just say I've got this. Probably. I can try.
I turned to Elliot.
I'm not afraid.
Elliot brushed my hair from my face and kissed my nose.
Catherine isn't a name for a princess. Sounds like a warrior to me.
I grinned. I'd always loved the story Mama had told about how my name came about, and I loved it when my dad called me princess. But everything was different now, and Elliot's version fit me better. He hugged me one last time before he stepped onto the bus. Sam waved to Madison, and we walked together to her forerunner. My feet crunched against glass at the same time the locks disengaged, and I hopped in, trying to find some relief from the cold. Madison turned the heat on full blast. We shivered for a moment, rubbing our hands together while Madison texted her father. I held my hand in front of the vents, anxious for the moment the air turned warmer. She chuckled.
He's not even mad.
That's good, I said. I'm just telling him we're heading out and then we can go. She tapped a few more times and then put her hand on the gear stick, shifting into reverse. Madison flipped a switch a few times, frowned, and then pushed open her door, walking to the front of the forerunner. Her eyes grew wide and she covered her mouth. I jumped out, joining her at the front of the car, but two steps in I could feel the glass under my shoes again, and I already knew what she was looking at. The headlights had been bashed out.
Those! I'm going to kill them!
Madison screamed. The buses were still sitting at the stadium, so I gathered our things, shut the doors, and yanked on Madison's coat.
We have to catch the bus before it leaves, or we'll be stranded.
Madison stopped being dragged and ran with me. I was out of breath halfway there, but the first bus was leaving, and the second would follow right after that. Just as the bus pulled forward, I banged on the door.
The bus driver slammed on the brakes. He glanced behind him and then down at us. Madison banged on the door, too.
Let us in!
She cried, her cheeks already wet with anger. Elliot appeared at the door, pulled on the lever, and helped us up the steps. Coach Peckham stood. He'd been sitting next to Mrs. Mason.
What's going on?
He asked. We need a ride home, Madison said. Coach Peckham placed his hands on his hips.
We can't do that.
Someone bashed in her headlights. There's glass all over the parking lot, I said.
What?
Elliot said, sudden rage in his eyes. The coach sighed.
Must have been the other team.
It was Presley Brubaker and her friends, Madison said. They told us if we came to the game, they were going to do something. That's a serious accusation, Mrs. Mason stated. Call your parents. Make sure it's okay for you to catch a ride on the athletics bus.
Becca, we need to clear it through the athletics director, maybe even the superintendent, Coach Peckham said.
We can't leave them here. With the weather like this, it could be morning before their parents could get to them. I'm on the bus, so they'll have female supervision. I'll text Mr. Thornton and Mrs. DeMarco and update them on the situation. Coach Peckham thought for a moment, prompting Elliot to speak up.
What is there to think about? You're actually considering leaving them over 2 hours from home in freezing temperatures? Young blood, that's enough, Coach said. There are rules to consider.
Elliot turned his body, standing in front of me a bit as if he were protecting me from the coach's decision.
If the rules mean you're leaving them here, then the rules are wrong. Just let me think a minute, Coach Peckham yelled.
All the excited chatter in the back of the bus stopped, all eyes focused on the front. It's not unheard of, Brad, Mrs. Mason said. The managers are on the bus. Those girls ride with the team all the time.
The managers signed waivers just like the rest of the team. This is different.
Elliot took my hand.
I'm just telling you now, if we can't get a hold of Mr. Thornton or the superintendent, if you can't get the clearance and you decide to leave them here, I'm staying. Youngblood, you'll be suspended and you won't be able to play. Sit down, Coach growled. Me too, Coach, Sam said, standing next to Maddie. We can't leave them here, and you know it.
Me too,
Scotty said, standing.
Me too,
another player said from the back. Soon every player on the bus was standing. Coach Peckham's hand slid down his face.
This is ridiculous. Fine, girls, sit in a seat across from us. Mrs. Mason, you've got the aisle seat. All athletes, move a seat back. I want one full empty row behind me and the girls. Do it, he barked. Now!
Mrs. Mason facilitated the move, and the boys did so without complaint, quickly and quietly. Mrs. Mason directed us to sit across from her, and Elliot stopped before making his way to the back.
It was the right thing to do, Coach.
Coach Peckham looked up at him.
Elliot, when you're an adult, right and wrong isn't so black and white.
It should be,
Elliot said, walking back to his seat. Coach sat, directing the driver to leave. Madison's phone was the only light on the dark bus, shining in Coach Peckham's face when he saw the text from her dad.
Thank God the bus was still there. Tell Coach Peckham thank you for making sure you got home safe.
Coach Peckham nodded, appearing ashamed. Mrs. Mason patted his knee and relaxed, smiling as she spoke to him. Madison doodled on the frosty window with her finger, and I pulled the blankets over us, trying to stay warm in the drafty bus. The hum of the engine and road noise made my eyelids feel heavy, and I drifted off, knowing I was surrounded by a team of boys who would do anything for Elliot, and Elliot would do anything for me.
Chapter 21, Elliot. Sam and I sat two rows behind Catherine and Madison. It was so dark, I could barely see the silhouettes of their heads poking above the seat. At first, the girls were looking out the window and at each other as they talked. And then I could tell when Catherine had nodded off, because her head was wobbling back and forth until she finally settled against Madison's shoulder. I felt half frustrated, half cheated. Catherine would have been much more comfortable sleeping on my shoulder. "Hey," Sam said, nudging my elbow. "You finished staring at her yet?" I breathed out a laugh and shook my head. There was no point in denying it. Sam already knew I was stupid in love with that girl. The bus was driving painfully slow, and I was finding it more and more difficult to be so close to Catherine without being able to talk to her. School was bad enough. This was torture. The raindrops flittering against the wind on the windows created glowing specks as they magnified the headlights of cars passing for seconds at a time. The windshield wipers swayed back and forth, and together with the hum of the engine and the road noise vibrating the dark bus, a soothing rhythm made it almost impossible to stay awake. Usually the bus was abuzz with celebration and energy on the way home from a one-away game. But aside from a few deep voices murmuring somewhere in the back, it was eerily quiet. "There's a keg party at the dam," Sam began, but I was already shaking my head. "Come on, Elliot, why not? It's the best way to get back at Presley and them anyway. They were hoping Tatum would get some alone time with you and they could spread another rumor. If we show up with the girls and they find out they rode all the way back with us on the bus, they'll be livid," he said, chuckling. "Catherine has to get home," he elbowed me. "We can sneak her out." I looked out the window. "Nah, man. You don't know what she goes through." "Her mom's pretty strict, huh? Well, you can still go. With Madison and me there, at least the brew bitches can't say you did something you didn't." When I shook my head again, Sam frowned. "Why? You haven't been to a party since school started." "And I won't. Not without her." "Then talk her into it. A little guilt trip never hurt no one." "I can't do that, Sam. You don't know how hard it was for me to win her trust back. I came here with no idea if she'd forgive me or not. I spent 2 years away from her, and I felt like I was going to suffocate right up until she spoke to me for the first time. We're just getting back to where we were before I left. Maybe even better. I'm not ruining everything I've worked for over a party. It's not more important to me than Catherine." "Is there anything that is? Football?" "No." "Your camera?" "Nope." "What about food?" I chuckled. "If I had to choose, I'd starve. I mean, I'm crazy in love with Madison, so I get it, but I don't know about all that." I shook my head. "Then you don't get it." "Well, explain it to me." "What's the point in going to a party if I wouldn't have fun without her there?" I asked. "You don't know that. You haven't seen Scotty jump over the bonfire." "Can he clear it?" I asked. "Most of the time," Sam said. We laughed. "By the way," Sam said, "I do get it. Madison can't go to parties either. When I go, I'm just wishing the whole time that she's there." He looked out the window and shrugged. "But she wants me to go. She doesn't want to feel like she's holding me back. If Catherine feels that way, just go for an hour. Hang out with the guys and go home. Then you'll feel like you bonded with the team, and she doesn't feel guilty all the time. Maddie knows I never do anything to hurt her. She's my best friend." I nodded. Catherine was my everything. If something happened to her while I was at a stupid party, if she came home to my house and I wasn't there, if she was hurt even for a second by some rumor, I'd never forgive myself. But I couldn't tell Sam any of that. "Catherine is my best friend, too." My phone began to buzz. The closer we got to Oak Creek, the more the team texted about the party. Sam read the messages. "See? It'll suck if you don't go." "I'll talk to Catherine," I said.
Chapter 22. Catherine. I blinked my eyes just as the buses pulled into the parking lot. I stretched, hearing the football team stir behind us. We filed off the bus. Just as Elliot took my hand, Mrs. Mason stopped us.
Let me know if your mom wants answers about tonight, okay? I'll have Mr. Thornton send a letter home. If she's still unhappy, he can call. It'll be fine, I said. You're sure? Catherine, if she's upset... I'm sure. Thanks, Mrs. Mason. Good night. Mrs. Mason smiled at me and then Elliot before turning her attention to Coach Peckham. Elliot walked me straight to his car. The ground was wet from the freezing rain, the parking lot lights glinting off the puddles Elliot lifted me over like I weighed nothing. He was still limping, but not as much. He started his car and we waited inside for it to warm up. He took my hands in his, blowing his warm breath on them. Madison said there was a party tonight. Did you want to go?
He shrugged. I mean, yeah, but it won't kill me not to.
So you want to go?
I've been to plenty of parties. They're all the same.
But it's your senior year, and these parties are for you. To celebrate you. You're the star quarterback. You've turned this team around. They love you.
I love you.
I looked down, trying not to blush. I made you something. It's stupid, I said, feeling a disclaimer was necessary.
You got me something?
He asked, his brows shooting up. His grin widened. I pulled a stack of cards out of the inside pocket of my coat and handed them to him, watching for his reaction as he read each of the envelopes.
When you're lonely, he read. When you're having a bad day, he said, flipping to the next one. When you miss me. When we're fighting. When we just finish a great day. If we break up.
His head popped up, and he frowned.
I'm tearing this one up.
Please don't. It's 4 pages long. He looked down at the envelopes again.
For now.
He opened the envelope and unfolded the notebook paper, reading over my words. Dear Elliot, I don't have anything else to give you, so I hope this will do. I'm not good at talking about my feelings. I'm not good at talking about anything, really. It's easier for me to write it down. Elliot, you make me feel loved and safe in a way no one has in a long time. You're brave, and you let the horrible things people say roll off your shoulders like nothing can touch you, and then you say things that make me think I'm the only one who can. You make me feel beautiful when you're the beautiful one. You make me feel strong when you're the strong one. You're my best friend, and I also happen to be in love with you, which is just the best thing I could have hoped for. So thank you. You'll never know how much better you make my life just for being in it. Love, Catherine. Elliot looked up at me, beaming.
This is the best present anyone has ever given me.
Really? I said, cringing. I've been racking my brain trying to think of something to make, but...
It's perfect. You're perfect.
He leaned over to kiss my lips, pecking them twice before finally pulling away. He looked down, his cheeks flushing red.
You're my best friend, too. I'm glad you wrote that.
I picked at my nails, already feeling exposed, but my curiosity was stronger than my hatred of feeling vulnerable. Natty said... She said she knew something you weren't telling me, but she wouldn't say what. It has to do with why you came here.
Oh, that.
He massaged the top of my hand with his thumb. Are you nervous to tell me?
A little bit, yeah.
I breathed out a laugh. Why? You weren't nervous to tell Maddie? I nudged him. Tell me. He rubbed the back of his neck, relaxing as the heater warmed the car. We were one of the last cars out of the parking lot. Everyone else was in a hurry to get to the party.
Do you remember the first time you saw me?
He asked. I arched a brow. When you were punching the tree?
Yeah.
He looked down at his scarred knuckles.
I don't want you to think I'm weird or some creepy stalker.
He turned, put on his seatbelt, and shifted the car into reverse.
It'll be easier if I just show you.
We drove to his aunt's house, and he pulled into the drive. The house was dark, the garage empty. Where are they? I asked.
Out with Uncle John's boss. They shouldn't be too much longer.
I nodded, following him downstairs to his room in the basement. It looked nothing like it did the last time I was there. It was a regular bedroom, with a full-size bed, a dresser, a desk, and decorations on the wall. The green shag rug had been replaced with an earth-toned modern one. What's that? I asked, pointing to a new built-in.
Uncle John made me a bathroom, so I didn't have to shower upstairs.
That was really nice. Elliot opened a drawer in his desk, taking out a cardboard box with a lid. He stood for a moment with his hands on the lid and then closed his eyes.
Don't freak out. This is not as weird as it seems.
Oh, okay.
Remember when I wanted to show you the most beautiful thing I'd ever photographed?
I nodded. He picked up the box and carried it to his bed. He lifted the lid, struggling to gather whatever was inside, and then placed a stack of photos, all black and whites and various sizes, on his quilt. He spread them out. Every single one was of me. This year, my freshman year, and very few of them were taken when I was looking at the camera. Then I noticed some photos of me when I was in middle school, and one where I was wearing a dress I hadn't been able to fit into since the sixth grade. Elliot.
I know what you're thinking, and it's creepy. That's why I haven't told you.
Where did you get these? I asked, pointing at the photos of me from years before.
I took them.
You took these? They look like magazine photos. He smiled, fidgeting.
Thanks. Aunt Lee bought me my first camera the year I took this one,
he said, pointing to the one of me in the dress.
I'd spend all day outside taking pictures on that thing. Then I'd come home and spend all night editing on Uncle John's old computer. Halfway through the summer, though, I decided to climb this huge oak tree to get a shot of the setting sun. The people who owned the yard the oak tree was in came outside, and I was stuck. They were sad, and having a moment, I didn't want to disturb. They were burying something. It was you and your dad. You were burying Goober.
You were watching us? You were in the tree?
I didn't mean to, Catherine, I swear.
But I sat out there until well after dark. I didn't see you. Elliot cringed.
I waited. I didn't know what else to do.
I sat next to the photos, touching each of them. I remember seeing you walking around the neighborhood and mowing lawns. I saw you looking at me, but you never talked to me.
Because I was terrified, he said with a nervous chuckle.
Of me?
I thought you were the prettiest girl I'd ever seen.
I sat down on the bed, one of the photos in my hands. Tell me more.
The next summer, Elliot continued, I saw you sitting on the porch swing. You saw something in the yard. It was a baby bird. I watched you climb almost to the top of the birch tree just to put it back in its nest. It took you half an hour to get back down, but you did it. In a pink dress.
He tapped a photo of me sitting on the steps of our front porch, lost in thought. I was 11 or 12 and wearing my dad's favorite dress.
This is the most beautiful photo I've ever taken. I could see it on your face. The pondering of what you'd done, the wonder, the pride.
He breathed out a laugh, nodding his head.
It's okay, you can make fun of me.
No, it's... I shrugged one shoulder. Unexpected.
And a little creepy,
he asked. He waited for my answer like he was expecting to be punched at any moment. I don't know,
Now I have photos of me and my dad I didn't know existed. What about here?
I asked. You were helping your dad fix a broken board on the porch.
And here?
Admiring the Fenton's rosebush. You kept coming back to the really big white one, but you didn't pick it.
I thought that house looked familiar. I've missed it since they tore it down. It's just a pile of dirt now. They're supposed to be building a new one.
I miss the lights on the street. Seems like more go out every year,
Elliot said. Me too, but it makes the stars easier to see. He smiled.
Always looking on the bright side.
What were you doing in my backyard that day? I asked, pointing to a photo of the old oak tree. The first time I saw you, when you were punching our tree.
Blowing off steam.
I waited for him to continue. He seemed embarrassed.
My parents were still fighting a lot. Mom hated Oak Creek, but I was falling for it more every day. I'd asked to stay.
The day we met?
Yeah. I don't know. I felt sort of at peace around that oak tree, but that day, nothing was peaceful. The longer I sat at the base of the tree, the longer I tried to be calm and mindful, the angrier I got. Before I knew what I was doing, I was throwing punches. It felt good to finally blow off steam. I didn't know you were home from school, though. Of all the times I'd imagined us meeting, it was never like that.
Do you do that a lot? Blow off steam?
Not so much anymore. I used to put my fist through doors pretty often. Aunt Lee threatened to stop letting me visit if I broke another one. She taught me how to channel my anger in a different way. Working out, football, taking pictures, helping Uncle John.
Why do you get so angry?
He shook his head, seeming vexed. I wish I knew. It just happens. I'm a lot better at controlling it now.
I can't imagine you that angry.
I try to keep it reined in. Mom says I'm too much like my dad. Once it's out, it's out.
He seemed unsettled at the thought. He sat on the bed next to me, and I shook my head in wonder. There were so many different expressions in the photos, all nine. Angry, bored, sad, lost in thought, so many captured moments of my life.
Trust me, I see at 18 that it wasn't okay for me to take pictures of someone without her consent. I'm happy to give them to you. I've never shown them to anyone else. At 10, I thought you were the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. I believe that still. That's why I told Madison I came back.
Because you think I'm beautiful?
Because I've loved you for almost half my life.
I turned to look in the mirror that hung on the wall behind his desk. My tawny hair had grown out 10 inches since Elliot had taken his first picture of me. I looked like a young woman instead of a girl. My eyes were a boring green. I was perfectly ordinary, not the spectacular beauty he described. Elliot, I don't see what you see, and I'm not the only one.
You think that's why insecure girls like Presley and her friends bother you so much? Because you're plain? Because you're boring? Ordinary?
I am plain and boring and ordinary, I said. Elliot stood me in front of the mirror, forcing me to look at myself again. He was a whole head taller than me, able to rest his chin on top of my head if he wanted. His bronze skin was such a contrast to my peachy hue, his straight, dark hair like typed words on a cream page against my tawny waves.
If you can't see it, trust me, you're beautiful.
I looked again. Fourth grade? Really? I was all knees and teeth.
No, you were flowing blonde hair, delicate fingers, with at least 10 lifetimes in your eyes.
I turned to him, sliding my hands under his shirt. I miss how light my hair was when I was little. He stiffened. My hands on his bare skin took him off guard.
You're...
Your hair is perfect the way it is.
He was warm, the solid muscles of his back tensing under my grip. He leaned down, his soft lips pressing against mine. I took a step back toward the bed, and he froze.
What are you doing?
He asked.
Getting comfortable?
He smiled.
Now you're talking in question marks.
I giggled, pulling him toward me.
Shut up.
He took a few steps, his entire body reacting when I parted my lips and searched his mouth with my tongue. When I leaned back, Elliot went with me, catching both of us with one hand on the mattress. His chest pressed against mine, and I reached down to lift the bottom hem of his shirt. When the cotton fabric was halfway up his back, the front door closed. Elliot jumped up, rubbing the back of his neck.
That's Uncle John and Aunt Lee,
he said. I sat up, embarrassed.
I should get home anyway. You should go to the party. I want you to go.
He looked deflated.
Are you sure?
I nodded.
I'll take a shower, then walk you home. Want some hot chocolate or anything while you wait?
I shook my head.
I'll just be a second.
He gathered some clothes and then disappeared behind the door of the built-in his Uncle John had made. The water from the shower hummed, and steam began billowing from the top of the door. I sat on Elliot's bed, next to the pictures of me. There were so few where I was in a field or walking on the sidewalk or even in my yard. In most of the pictures, I was sitting on my porch swing, the windows of the juniper watching over my shoulder. Never did I smile. I was always deep in thought, even when my father was in the shot, nearby. The shower turned off, and the faucet turned on. A few minutes later, the door opened, and Elliot appeared, wearing an Oak Creek football hoodie, jeans, sneakers, and a wide grin, his dimples sinking into his cheek.
You smell good, I said, hugging him again.
Body wash and mint surrounded me when he locked his arms at the small of my back. His hair was still damp and fell all around me when he bent down to kiss my lips. He took my hand and headed for the stairs, but then stopped and kissed me again.
What was that for?
It took me 6 summers to get up the nerve to talk to you. 2 more summers to get back to you. No more, okay? I'm done missing summers with you.
I smiled.
What?
He asked. I like that you end your sentences in periods now. He held my hand in his, my cold skin comforted in the confines of his warmth.
Come on, he said. Let's get you home before it gets too late.
We walked together to the juniper, counting which of the street lamps were out and which were still burning. Elliot looked up, agreeing that it was easier to see the stars when it was darker. We passed the Fenton's dirt plot, and Elliot stepped through the iron gate this time, walking me all the way to my front porch.
Have fun tonight, okay?
I said, keeping my voice low. The juniper was dark, and I wanted it to stay that way while Elliot was so close. Elliot twirled a strand of my hair.
I wish you'd go with me.
For the first time in my life, I wanted to go to a party. I would have gone anywhere if it meant I could spend another hour with Elliot. I swallowed those feelings and shook my head.
I'd better go inside.
I kissed his cheek.
Happy birthday.
Elliot nodded and then took my cheeks in his hands. He pressed his full, warm lips against mine. His mouth moved differently. This time with more desire. The act of sharing a secret and my acceptance had changed things, had broken down a wall. His lips parted, and I let his tongue slip inside, allowing a delicate dance as he pulled me closer. Our breathing puffed up into a white cloud above us. Elliot took a step closer, gently backing me against the door.
I should go,
I whispered between kisses. I reached behind me and turned the handle. The latch clicked and the hinges creaked. I took a step back, and Elliot followed, stepping inside. We stood in the doorway, tasting each other, lost in being so close. It was in that moment that I thought seriously about packing up to be with him, leaving everything frightening and draining behind.
"What the hell is going on here?"
Duke yelled, yanking me back by my coat.
"Whoa, easy,"
Elliot said, his hands up.
"Go, Elliot,"
I said, panicked.
"Are you..."
Elliot began.
"Just go! Go!"
I yelled, pushing him back through the threshold. I slammed the door in his face.
"Catherine!"
Elliot yelled, banging on the door.
"Get out of here, you mutt!"
Duke growled. I held up my finger to Duke, begging him to be quiet.
"I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Just shh,"
I said, my hands trembling. I touched my palms to the door.
"Elliot, I'm okay. Just go home. I'll see you tomorrow."
"You're not okay," Elliot said. "Let me in, Catherine. I'll explain."
Duke grabbed my arm, but I yanked it away. I took a deep breath, twisting the lock bolt.
"You can't come in. I'm okay, I promise. Just please go home. Please leave."
"I can't leave you here,"
Elliot said. I swallowed and looked over my shoulder, seeing the rage in Duke's eyes.
"Elliot, I don't want you to get hurt. I promise I'll see you tomorrow, and I promise everything will be fine. Please trust me."
"Catherine,"
Elliot said, his voice desperate and muffled. I walked over to the window and tapped. Elliot met me there, pressing his hands against the glass. I forced a smile, and Elliot looked around for Duke, who'd stayed just out of sight.
"You have to leave," I said.
Elliot frowned, the muscles of his jaw ticking. I could see the conflict in his eyes.
"Come with me. I can keep you safe."
A tear spilled down my cheek.
"You have to leave, Elliot, or I can't see you anymore."
Elliot's bottom lip trembled with anger. He tried to see behind me one more time.
"Go straight to your room and lock the door."
"I will, I promise."
"I'll be here first thing in the morning."
"Okay."
Elliot turned on his heel and ran down the porch steps. He jumped over the gate, sprinting home. I closed my eyes, feeling more tears wet my face. I wiped them away and turned to face Duke. He was still breathing hard, still glowering at me.
"Keep him away from here, Catherine, or I'll make him disappear."
I pushed through my fear and walked toward him, pointing at his stained button-down.
"You won't go near Elliot, do you hear me? I'll leave. I'll leave and never come back if you lay a finger on him."
Duke was surprised, blinking and fidgeting, unsure how to respond.
"The juniper can't keep going without me."
"You do what I say," I hissed. "Go to bed,"
I commanded, pointing upstairs. Duke smoothed his tie and then backed away, turning for the stairway. He climbed slowly, reaching the top and turning right toward his room down the hall. When I heard his door slam shut, I hurried upstairs and into my room, then pushed my bed against the door and sat on the mattress for extra weight. I covered my mouth, both mortified and afraid. I'd never spoken to Duke that way, and I wasn't sure what would happen now. He was the most intimidating of the guests, and his failure to frighten me into submission meant uncertainty. I worried someone new and more frightening would come to keep me in line. The dresser scraped against the floor as I pushed it against my door. Just as I positioned myself to move the bed, a strange noise gave me pause. Plink, plink. I froze. Plink. The sound was coming from my bedroom window. I walked over, noticing Elliot in the perfect circle cast by one of the remaining street lamps. I raised my window, smiling down at him.
"You okay?"
he called. I nodded, wiping my face.
"I'm sorry. I hate that you saw that."
"Don't worry about me. I can help you down if you want. You don't have to stay there."
I'm in my room. The door's locked. I'm safe.